Sometimes I wanna feel the pain.
Welcome to the Avdallah Show, where we are privileged to be joined by one of the best jockeys in the world, Brenton the Gun Avdallah. He's joining us to talk about the biggest meeting anywhere in the world this week, Hong Kong International Day at Sha Tin on Sunday. The Gun, thank you very much, mate, for coming on board.
No, thanks for having me, Rich. It's nice to see you again, mate. We haven't spoken for a while, so we'll see what we can do.
It's been a couple of years, so as you know, we're big punters in the den, and we love betting on Hong Kong, and we want to sort of get our teeth into the meeting on Sunday. And I thought what we could do with you is just have a very loose chat about doing the form for the meeting on Sunday at Hong Kong and look at the big four Group 1's international races. And I thought we might start in distance order. So why don't we start with the Hong Kong Sprint, the 1,200-meter race. You're on California Spangle. I'd say it's probably the horse that you've had the most success with over in Hong Kong. Of course, he won the Group 1 in Dubai. Ka Ying Rising completely dominates the market and kind of dominates the talk in world racing at the moment. Just to give us a bit of background, I thought I might play the club sprint from the 17th of November. You can see here I've picked out Ka Ying Rising and California Spangle. Why don't I let you take over here, as you can see that Ka Ying Rising just went right on with it and California Spangle struggled a little bit. I guess the question is, how do you think you can possibly close the gap on Ka Ying Rising on Sunday?
Well, I think we can close the gap, that's for sure. But he looks like he's going to be awfully hard to beat, doesn't he, Ka Ying Rising? He's a horse who's he's potentially probably the best sprinter in the world at the moment. And what he's done his last few, I doubt there'd be any horses to be able to go with him. So yeah. Zach hasn't really given full bore yet, I don't think, either. He's very exciting. And the way Zach can ride him too, you know, he can be really aggressive out of the gates and then 100 metres later, just asking to relax, and he pricks his ears and comes back under him and then can travel at a good gallop and quicken off it. So there's not many chinks in his armour there that we've seen at the moment. So I think he's definitely going to be awesome. It's going to be awfully hard to beat. He nearly looks like he's a really good thing in the sprint. Albeit my bloke, he's the proven tough Group 1 weight for age performer. He's had to give horses weight for his first couple. He's definitely a different horse when he can control a tempo, doesn't have to go slow, but just be 1-2 in a controlling position. Last time they went ridiculously quick early and he wasn't able to put himself in that position and we didn't really ride him for that and he just didn't run as well. But I've got no doubt that he's come through the running good order. We'll be aggressive with him to put himself right on the speed, and if he can, he'll run well. So I've got no doubt Spangle can bounce back to his best and run well. But like I said, Ka Ying Rising, I think he's obviously going to be awfully hard to beat. And horses like Helios Express and How Deep Is Your Love, they're good sprinters, really good sprinters, and they're going to be off pace and be closing well. But whether they can beat the other two on level weights, I'm not sure.
And David Hayes was in the press today saying that he's keen to come to Australia with Ka Ying Rising for the Everest. You think he'd be right in the thick of that? And do you think he's got a couple lengths on all the best sprinters in Australia?
Yeah, I do. Seeing him in the flesh and being here, you know, obviously a horse like California Spangle was able to win a Group 1 here, go over to Dubai, win a Group 1 there. And even having rides on horses like How Deep Is Your Love, Helios Express, like they're good quality horses. And for Ka Ying Rising to, I think there's a 20-year track record that he did, that he beat, last start. I think it just shows you what he can do. And he's still got a bit of upside too, I think, which is a bit scary. So I've got no doubt if they target him to an Everest and he was in this sort of form, he'd be awfully hard to beat for sure.
Very good. All right, mate, let's move on to the Hong Kong Mile, the 1,600-meter race. You are on Beauty Joy. And we're going to show the Jockey Club Mile once again from the 17th of November. You weren't on Beauty Joy this day. We'll just so everyone can see there. There's Voyage Bubble out in front with J-Mac on board. You're on Straight Aaron, and Straight Aaron is just actually outside of Beauty Joy coming into it. Straight Aaron's important to have a look at because he's in the next race, the 2,000-meter race. But Beauty Joy looks like he's not going that well, and then he starts getting going late and finds a line pretty well. How are you feeling about him on Sunday?
Yeah, he's a really tough old horse. Richie's really consistent. He doesn't get too many wins on the board, but every time when he runs, he's not beaten far. I suppose he's had three runs for the season so far. He's beaten a length and a half, three lengths. But I thought his run was good. He's a horse who just needs to have a good gallop. bit of tempo and to be building into the race. He obviously knocked off Beauty Eternal with me there last season. So he's got the ability to run really well in a race like this. It's obviously a big ask for him to win. But he's going to need tempo and things to go his way. But on his best, he can definitely run well. Voyage Bubbles, obviously the Hong Kong, probably him and Galaxy Patch are the two Hong Kong horses that are probably going to be hard in the market and the two to beat. Voyage Bubble with obviously Jack Mack on, he's much more versatile than the other horse. Galaxy Patch seems to, Vincent always seems to sort of ride him quiet, get him to switch off, and he's got a lethal turn of speed where Voyage can sort of position up, put himself on pace, and he's a real tough old customer. So they're probably the two. The Japanese.
What about Soul Rush?
The Japanese Soul Rush obviously ran well.
He looks good, doesn't he? Yeah.
Well, he ran well in the race last year. He ran well in the race last year. Voyage Bubble, I think, beat him. So he's probably the one. And look, I suppose you got Antino as well. You know more about him than I do. I've seen him from afar, but the substance behind him, obviously, he was amazing there that day at Caulfield, and he was good at Flemington. So how he's travelled, I'm not sure, but I'd respect him as well.
Let's move on to the Hong Kong Cup, maybe the biggest race of the day, the 2,000-metre race, where we've got Romantic Warrior, the champion's going for three straight Hong Kong Cups. You're on Straight Aaron, who we saw coming on not too badly in that 1,600-metre race. So he's up to 2,000 metres. He's a bit of a rough chance. What did you make of this race? And, yeah, you were riding in that race against Romantic Warrior. What was he like that day? That you're on? So you're on 5G Patch out the back here when Romantic Warrior
won. Yeah, I was on 5G Patch.
The Jockey Club Cup.
Yeah. For a 2,000-metre Group 1, like this sort of point of view, this wasn't a very strong race. So Romantic Warrior was probably entitled to win how he did. You know, James obviously was able to position him up, rode him confidently before the corner, and he had a good gallop and put some even horses away. I'm on 5G Patch there, who's, you know, not far off the placings, and he's a horse that's got obviously having to run the mile and a half, and he's just a dead set 2,400-metre-plus horse. So he's nowhere near as effective at 2,000, but I don't think there was really much else Romantic Warrior could have done. Obviously, Danny and James have done an amazing job with him. He's obviously travelled around the world. He's, every time they've raised the bar with him, he's jumped it. And even on a couple of services, he's trialled on the all-weather, and he's looked just as effective on the all-weather. So he's going to be one of the shining lights for Hong Kong there on the weekend as well. The opposition, look, I can see Straight Aaron running well. He ran well in the race last year. He just got a little bit of a chop out late when he was trained by Casper Founds and Vincent was on him, and he was only beaten three quarters of a length. So he's a horse who's progressing well, and I think he can race well. Not saying he can win, but I'd expect him to run top five, and just hopefully he can draw a nice gate and position himself midfield, switch off and hit the line, because I think he's on his day, he's good enough. Massive Sovereign was obviously the Derby winner, who probably hasn't hit his peak since then. But I think they're trying maybe even side pieces on him just to try and switch him on. But Zach rides him. And then you got obviously a couple more of the imports that I don't know too much about. Liberty Isle obviously was, she's obviously a world-class filly in Japan who won well, drops back to 2,000. So competitive enough race. But I think, Romantic Warrior, if he turns up in what he can do, he's obviously going to be the one to beat again.
And just on J-Mac, so you've owned the best winning post-celebration for Lasquetti Spirit for a long time now, but then J-Mac did pretty well in the Cox Plate with Via Sistina. Do you feel as though J-Mac has the best winning post-celebration, or do you still feel confident that you own it?
Well, I don't get as many chances as James to do it, I suppose. You know, when you're 10 lengths clear in every Group 1, you get plenty of time to practice. It was pretty good, especially that sort of race, you know, when you can win Cox Plates by sort of margins like that, and it's pretty special. She's obviously a pretty special horse, and all fair play for everyone involved.
Mate, let's move on to the Hong Kong Vase, 2,400-metre race, and I reckon probably this is your best chance. So 5G Patch, we saw him earlier. What I wanted to do was go and watch, you know, arguably his best run ever, which was in the Champions and Chater Cup back in May. So Rebel's Romance was in the race, which is considered one of the best horses in the world. If we freeze it just about here, we'll point out Rebel's Romance in front for Godolphin, and then you're way out the back on 5G Patch. If we follow 5G Patch pretty closely up the fence, it makes up a huge amount of ground and looks like it really relishes the 2,400 metres, which you alluded to before. How do you feel about his chance? Do you agree with me that he's probably your best chance in those big group ones?
Yeah, he's a really honest horse, Rich. His problem is there's probably not enough races in Hong Kong for him, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's a horse who, he's obviously won at, you know, the 1800 and stuff like that, but there's only sort of two races a year at high level that he can race in, and one was that race and one's this race. So, yeah, and he always has to then take on not only the Hong Kong horses but the international horses. So Rebel's Romance has obviously won it, group ones all over the world. And my bloke, he ran really well that day, and I can feel him peaking again on the weekend. I've been happy with both his runs coming through this season. He's attacked the line both times. Like I said, he loves the mile and a half, and I've got no doubt he'd run 2 miles if there was a race here for him. So he's just going to, yeah, he'll be out the back. He switches off. He doesn't touch the bridle. And he's going to close off well. Whether he's good enough, we'll find out on Sunday. But I could definitely see him running really well. And it's quite a competitive race, very even. Horses from everywhere. I think he can beat the Hong Kong horses, and then it's just whatever, you know, how without a fight's travelled over and that sort of stuff. But Dubai Honor, I obviously know from Australia. He's raced all again all over the world. He's always been very consistent. So Luxembourg, I've seen before. So yeah, it's a very, very competitive bars. And like I said, I think my bloke can run really well.
And let's just talk about without a fight. So I'll bring up his last start in the Champions Stakes a few weeks back. So he ran on pretty well. Of course, Via Sestina won and won comfortably. Just quickly before we talk about without a fight, Via Sestina, if she did go across to Hong Kong, there's a bit of talk about her. Do you think she'd be favourite over Romantic Warrior? Who would you like to ride if you had the choice between Via Sestina and a Romantic Warrior in a 2,000-metre race in Hong Kong?
Oh, yeah. that'd be a tricky one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Look, maybe you just ride Romantic Warrior because he's on his home turf, been here, done it. And I'd say he'd probably be the punters elect too, being, you know, with the Chinese punters, he too being their homegrown hero. But, yeah, she's an amazing mare. Again, she's you don't see group ones being won like that. So it would have been interesting. No, I would have loved to see it. And I would have loved to see which way James would have gone too.
Yeah, that would have been super interesting.
Yeah, well, there's not many times James gets it wrong too. You know, he's obviously got a lot of the pick of the rides, and he usually ends up on the right one. But I think a one like that, he would have had to question himself a few times over, no doubt.
Brilliant, mate. Well, thank you for that. Provided a lot of insight. We really appreciate it. And hope everything goes really well for you on Sunday. We'll be cheering for you loud. And, yeah, hopefully you can grab a winner or two on the day.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. No, it's obviously a big day. It's one thing being in Hong Kong. You know, you get these days, and it's just the capital world racing, I suppose, here now. So it's an exciting week altogether. There's plenty of Australians around. And I've got a nice couple of chances on the undercard. So hopefully we can hit the back of the net once or twice and have a good day on Sunday. But nice to see you. And all the best with what you guys do as well.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate the gun. We'll see you soon.